What's up, guys? Welcome to the Flow Tea Cast for episode 109. Right?
Sure.
See, like
I thought it was 108, but I think last week was supposed to be 108, and this is 109, but I could be wrong.
I don't remember either. I literally just listened to the last pod, and then like at the end of it, because like I was making sure the sounds were all lined up for this one, we were like, "Yeah, dog, we don't skip weeks anymore." And guess what?
We skipped a week.
We skipped a week. My bad. That's on me.
But we had a good reason, though. We were on a valiant mission to find a third co-host. So while we were wandering the Sahara, we happened to forget to do the podcast.
We also trained in the mountains after we wandered the Sahara. Or we were training our new co-host in the mountains after we wandered the Sahara to find him. And apparently he was literally down the room, so like that's pretty cool. So before we get to him, though, gotta ask Scott, how you doing, buddy?
Good, man. Working every day, you know how it goes. Doing my best, playing Pokemon, biting off more than I can chew, which is always a story with me, right? But how you doing?
Oh man, we had some scares this past week. Had a big old business trip a week before. You know, felt very important, but not really, because it was kind of lackluster. I was hyping it up like, yo, I'm on a secret squirrel mission. Nah, it was just an
inventory. Nah, you went to count some boxes, didn't you?
Yeah. Count some boxes that are eventually going to come back to me and I have to count them again. You know how it goes. And just a lot going on, man, in preparations for the big day. So, but without further ado, Matthew Sarton, how are you doing, my man?
Oh, I'm all right, fella. How are you guys?
Oh, you know, we're living the
hanging
dream.
Hanging in there.
So, those who don't know, Matthew Sarton, a little introduction to him, and then he can tell about himself after I'm done talking.
He's never done talking, by the way, Matt, so just don't expect to speak.
Oh, that makes it a lot easier for me.
He is a coworker of mine. We started our the job we work at the same day. And we've been talking about Pokemon pretty much since, like, the first day, like, we met, right?
No, it took me a couple.
Not the card game, but you got into Sword and Shield.
It took me a couple weeks to warm up to you, because I was like, who's this nerd, you know?
That's fair. That's fair.
And then there was, like, a three-month cloister kick.
Yeah. But, my man's recently got into the Pokemon TCG during Silver Tempest format, and he's been doing really well at locals. Hadn't done his big event yet, but anyway, go ahead, man. You introduce yourself.
Yeah, started playing in like January. You know, took it really easy with Mew because I felt like that was going to be a low skill cap deck, and while it was easy, I quickly found out it wasn't as low skill cap as I thought. There was a lot of big choices to make, and then I've just been trying to find the right deck since, having fun at locals, and yeah, that's about it.
But that's good, man. Like, you know, I always say that when you start playing the Pokemon TCG, like, and you want to grind into competitive, you just pick a, like, the best deck and format at the time, and Mew was up there. Plus, they had the League Battle decks, which is really good to just start playing. Like, you just buy two of those. You already have your 4-4-4-4-4-4-4 to keep going lines of everything. So, like, you started doing well with it. And, you know, the fact that we, during our off times, like on breaks and stuff at work, like always talked about playing the Pokemon TCG and like deck planning and stuff like that. And your willingness to shoot the shit with the boys. That's why we brought you here. So I'm happy to have you. Scott and I are definitely going to need you with everything going on in the future. So it's good to have you a part of the squad, man.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I do got to say, though, that Mew was definitely great, and I played it all the way up until rotation hit. And, I mean, 3 months in, I did get a first place at locals. I think Scott was there, too, and it was great. And then rotation hit.
And then you beat me.
Yeah, and then Mew ended up winning Worlds, so you fucked up. So
Now I've just been trying to find what I like. That's the hard part. I haven't been very comfortable since after rotation with a deck that just feels good.
Well, it's because every deck doesn't feel good. So you pick your least hated and you go with it.
Or you pick your hated, like I did. Again, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
Fuck Giratina, I love it.
Arctina.
Arctina, yeah, Jesus Christ. But yeah, let's just fucking get right into it. Some of you guys have played into some tournaments. Did you guys both go Friday?
I went Friday. Yeah.
Oh,
I was
did?
The only one there. You guys left me there by myself.
Oh, my bad. Matt, did you go Saturday?
I did. Whopping 8 people showed up.
Bro, what a call by Scott. I was trying to inch my way down there, and he was like, don't do it. Nobody's going to show up. And I'm like, I don't know if I believe that, but okay.
Well, that's because everybody on Friday was talking about the Cup in Birmingham. So at least, you know, of the people that normally go that I know, right? There's going to be like 6 of them on the road. So the ones that aren't in Pittsburgh right now, we're going to be at the Cup in Birmingham. In Birmingham. And so I was like, yeah, there's not going to be any of my friends at least that show up. So I'm not going.
Well, Matt was there. You left him behind.
Well, he left me on Friday. So he doesn't deserve my respect, I guess.
Hey, I was out of town on Friday and I got back into town. Like that day, and I was just like, I'm tired. I don't feel like going.
No, that's real. Yeah. No, Saturday was just a busy day. So.
If there's anything I've learned since starting to play, is it's playing when you're tired and not in the mood to play. Oh, it'll ruin the day of playing for you. Like, you won't want to play for a little while. You'll have a bad day, and you'll feel even more burnt out, and then you're just kind of stuck feeling miserable.
100%. Yeah, I'm glad you already figured that out.
Bro.
This early.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it causes you to do dumb shit like drive 9 hours in the middle of a tournament to go home and never want to see Pokemon cards again. It's bad. But anyway, back to what I was saying. How did you guys do, Matt? How did you do Saturday? And what did you play?
8 people there. I played Arctina. Beat out an Oinkalone meme deck because, you know, Oinkalone isn't great. And then other than that, it was lost to Lost Box and lost to another Lost Box. Yeah, so it was not good. Arctina sucks. I will never play it again. It's a skill issue, I know. Will not play it.
That deck just seems boring to me. I ain't even going to lie. Like, shout out to the people who main that deck. Proud of you, but like, I just feel like you do one thing. It's like, yo, let's stick to path. Let's attach energy to our Arceus. Not in that order. Attach energy to Arceus pass. Then do your Starbirth. Stick to path, and then just like power up your dudes over and over and over again. And like, that just doesn't sound fun to me.
Yeah, so one thing I've learned with that deck is the deck list I was playing is just absolutely awful because it runs no stadium bump. And for some reason, everyone else gets a path down and I don't. And then, you know, I'm stuck sitting there with like a Giratina or something in the active and can't find an Arceus B-star at all. And path is in play and I'm just miserable. And I prized like 4 psychic energies one game. So Giratina never got a chance to pop off.
Oh, God, Jesus Christ. Scott, how'd you do Friday?
I went 3-2. Had some really good games. There wasn't a game that I absolutely got demolished. There was a game where I couldn't play the game, though, so I guess you can count that. But same thing, I prized 2 of my grass energies, and I only played 3. So then I was stuck in a situation where I was still kind of set up, but I needed to find it, and I couldn't find my super rod or the energy itself. So, I couldn't find my super rod at first, and then I couldn't find the Mirage Gate or the energy. So I just sat and let him, like, knock everything out while trying to protect the lone Tina that I had until I lost. But other than that, I played well. I played lost Tina with a quad path to the peak. Because nothing says I don't want you to play against me more than knocking out your Pokemon and setting a path down and then sticking a Roxanne to him too. So I'm pretty sure that deck isn't as good as that deck really should be. I'm pretty sure that path Roxanne just hurts every deck in the format. So
that is fair. And that's like one of the only decks that plays Roxanne right now, I feel like. Does Mew still play Roxanne?
I feel like it can. I don't know if it does, but I think it can, yeah.
Well, unfortunately, I did not get to play any tournaments, but I did play a tournament the week prior when we were supposed to record the last episode, and your boy played Charizard. It was his first live shuffling the cards, not playing online, just playing Charizard, and I fucking hate that deck. It is the biggest pile of shit I've ever seen in my life, dog. Like, it was round one, I got the bye. Awesome. Round two, I played against Tanner, who was also playing Charizard, and he stuck path. I don't play path. I don't have a way to find a stadium. I just pray on the top deck. Oh, and he bossed up my Arceus and just knocked out my only out to like do anything. And I was like, okay, this is fucking shit. And then I played against a Maridon. I beat the hell out of him. Shout out to my man. You know who you are. And yeah, so that felt good. But then I got stuck on a path again and proceeded to lose. And I'm like, dog, thank God the records are showing for itself. Only a few made day two because like, that deck is horrible. I can't fucking play Charizard, dog. Nor do I ever want to. So,
I mean, I don't know. I've seen the Charizard with Octillery. And I feel like that's probably your best bet go to. Because then, you know, you're not sitting there with a shutdown Pidgeot line or V-Star Arceus sitting there not able to pop off. Like, evolving a Charizard and not being able to put on energies, like, the Octillery line, playing online, the Octillery line in there is the only matchup I've had where the Charizard has actually given me issues.
The Octillery, Rapid Strike Octillery to find Tower of Waters to bump path.
Yeah, that's the only Charizard line that I've ran into where it's like I struggled against it online.
So, like, playing the barrel and just seeing more cards doesn't seem like the way to go. You're going to play the Octillery to find a stadium that doesn't help you? Are these people making decks, like, just trying to, like, give me an aneurysm? Like, what's going on here?
I don't know, but, I mean, they either had Green of Focus when they needed it, or they had Echoing Horn to sit there and throw something back up, and they had Power Bump every time.
All right, so they're playing Focus and Horn then, at least, so it's not just a stadium fight.
Bro! Right. Bro, you know what you do? You just play Urshifu too, and then just attach Rapid Strike, evolve into Charizard, then you Rapid Flow. Like, what are you doing? That actually sounds not horrible.
I mean, if next week somebody sits across from me and plays down a Charmander and then a Rapid Strike Urshifu V, I'm getting up from the table, finding where you're sitting, and slapping you.
Listen, man, after Pittsburgh Regionals, you might see that. Don't fuck around. Matt might have leaked a new meta. Like, what are you talking about? I don't know. Like, the more I think about it, like, the more you could get away with something like that, right? Unfortunately, Octillery can't find, like, rare candies, but Irida can. And you can fucking, you're playing water Pokemon in there, so might as well play Irida if you want to get fucking crazy with it.
Get out of here. You can, I
Bro,
mean,
think about
are you playing Luminion too? Like,
why not?
Why not? Yeah. Throw it on in there too.
No, fuck it. We're playing a playing two stage ones in our Inteleon and our Urshifu, and then we're playing a stage two. Actually, we're playing three stage ones. And you're playing Yoga Loop, bro. You know what?
Stop.
Urshi and Inteleon with the splash of Charizard.
Splash. Bro, see, yeah, that's the play, all right? Early game, you hit it with the Charizard. So you do 180 or what's one prize thing? And I don't know. You do enough damage not to knock him out, but then you Yoga Loop him. You take the prizes there, and then you take a bigger prize with Charizard again. So yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. But speaking of Charizard, today or this weekend was the first regional championships where Obsidian Flames was legal. Disclaimer, it is still going on, I think. Last I checked, there was a top four match between Andrew Estrada and Colin. Yes.
Yeah, it's heading into the last round now.
Oh, who won?
I forget the names of who's playing, but it's Maridon against Lost Box Kyogre.
Okay, so Andrew Estrada, who was playing Lost Box. I think the Pokemon stream mentioned it like a million times when he was on stream. Former world champion Andrew Estrada from when he was a senior or a junior. Don't forget that. He did get top eight at 2022 Worlds. He is playing Lost Box against Jesse Parker, who stayed in our Airbnb in Indianapolis. And his Maridon deck. Now, Matt, just so happens to be on the pod today, hit me up 2 days ago and was like, yo, Maridon is fun as fuck. And I like sleeved the deck up a few times. It is fun. But I did not expect it to show out this weekend like it did. Scott, why do you think Maridon blew up this weekend?
Because nobody was treating it with any level of respect. And it has options. You know, it's one of those decks where, like, and I don't even know Jesse's list, but you can play, you know, you could play the cat, you can play the Raichu, you know, you can play basically any electric Pokemon you want, and it'll find all of them, right? So you could set up whatever strategy you want to. You could play the Regieleki's if you want to. I don't think they are, but you could do that, right? And it just has different attacking options for different situations. It could deal with the one prizers. I don't think it's the strongest list out there. I don't think it's the strongest deck. But I do think that if nobody respects it, obviously it can go a long way, right? And that in the hands of somebody who's been putting in the work like Jesse has, I mean, that's all she wrote, right? He's probably played that deck like 600 times at this point. So
that's true. That is true. And I mean, the Mahone testing group too, right? The Jesse Parkers, the JW Creewalls, the Andrew Mahones getting 21st at World Championships, you know, our biggest YouTuber. But nah, I got to give credit where credit's due to Matt, because he was like, yo, this deck's going to blow up because Andrew Mahone like did well with it. And why did you think that, Matt?
Why did I think it was going to blow up?
Yeah.
Well, so I haven't been to a big event yet, right? But part of my mindset was, I know what it is like playing at locals now, and even playing best of three, like 5 hours in, you feel exhausted, and like you're, like, I mean, going there after work, doing whatever, you know, you don't want to think. And like Maridon almost feels, the hardest part of Maridon, it feels like, is do I squawk a Billy in the start, or is my hand good enough to hold now? That's like the biggest decision. And then every other turn after that just kind of feels like accelerate energy, hit, like look at what your opponent has and see if you need to explode big with Raichu or not. It just kind of, it feels like one of those simple decks to where it's not like you have to sit here and plan out long turns of sequencing and whatnot. It just feels very smooth, very easy. It's almost like playing Mew again, so that's why I've kind of sleeved it up, because I have fun playing with it. You get to see a good bit of cards when you need to, and then after that, you're just kind of chilling, attaching energy, and swinging.
Another good reason I'd like to point out is the same reason why a lot of people are taking Manaphy out of the list. Nobody's really scared of Greninja. And so you can get away with a 2/2 Manaphy line, right? Because you're not punished for
Flaffy.
Flaffy, yeah. Yeah, the 2/2 Manaphy line. Bro.
Yeah, no,
the 2/2 Flaffy line. because you can get away with it a lot more than you used to be able to, right?
I don't know if like people aren't scared of Greninja as much, but I have seen like Giratina's cutting water energies like out of the thing. They're just trying to go straight Giratina and Sableye. Like that's their game plan. Fucking Isaiah Bradner was on stream earlier today and was playing one water energy just to scare the opponent. I kind of like that. That's pretty big brain, but I have seen like a lot less. What's the word I'm looking for? A lot less utility with the Greninjas. Like, it's still there, right? And it's one of the nastiest fucking cards in the game right now, next to Sableye. But, I mean, you're right. Like, if you're not up against a Chin Pao or a Lost Box, I mean, if you're up against Lost Box, you're probably just going to play one, right? You don't need two on the board. But if you're up against Chin Pao, same thing. And it's just like Matt said, it's smooth. You know, it gets the job done. Like, you don't need battle VIP passes to set your board up. You have it built in right into a Maraidon. And it goes turbo if it wants to. And it has disruption with Iono and Path. Like, I didn't see it coming. I didn't see Maraidon, like, making the finals. If you told me what the finals were going to be, I was going to be like, yo, Tord with Gardevoir. And Joe Schmuckatelli with Giratina, who cracked the code. But he still can't crack it. That deck sucks, bro. That's why it's sleeved up right now.
Oh, my gosh.
Don't tell anybody.
I feel like you're drunk.
But we do got to give a shout-out to another podcast host holding it down in Pittsburgh right now. Jake Abrams of the Pittsburgh Pokemon Podcast, the Triple P Pod, got day two, his first ever day two. He was 6-0-1 at one point in day one, and I wanted to give a shout out to him because he is a friend of the pod. And I mean, like, that's sick. You're in your hometown, right? And you get day two for your first time ever. We're not going to talk about his day two record, but like, R.I.P. my man. I'm sorry, but I mean, you got there. Like, that's more than I can say I've ever done. I've always wanted a day two. But, like, that would just be so cool.
He also got us winning it on stream. So that's like a double dream, right?
Yeah.
So
that's like, I've made it. Like, he got to sit in the lounge. I only wish I could be in the lounge. I am the lounge. No, I'm just kidding.
How can you hate from outside the club, bro?
Bro, we can't even get in. More on Maraidon hype, the Japanese Champions League was this weekend, and Maraidon won. And it's getting weapons in Pokemon 151 in a couple weeks. Zapdos EX.
Yeah, I didn't even look at that card when we looked at the set list. I don't know why. Maybe it's because we weren't giving Maraidon a second glance, but it's a pretty sick card.
So I don't think I've paid attention. What does Zapdos CX do?
Okay, so if it has a lightning energy attached to it, it has free retreat. And then, yes, that's all I got.
That's all you need.
It has that, but it has a pretty busted attack for 3 lightning energies. I want to say it's 120. I know it's 120, but if there's a Pokemon with damage counters on the bench, it does 90 damage to it. So you just play the Hawlucha and then, like, you know, ping something for one energy, and then you do spread damage. So now it has spread attack in its deck, which is kind of nasty, bro. Especially the free retreat where you can pivot, because Maraidon really needs a pivot option. Zapdos is pretty good. It's a weapon for sure coming out in 150.
It also sets up Raichu math very, very nicely.
Fuck Raichu. Keep going.
Why you got so much hate for my boy?
I don't have
just because he was supposed to be the Blacephalon of the electric Pokemon.
I mean, he still is. Kind of.
Yeah. He's just not as good. He'll never be Blacephalon.
Matt, what Blacephalon did was you discarded fire energies on all of your Pokemon, and you do 50 times each the amount of fire, or you don't discard them, you put them in your loss zone, and you did 50 for each fire energy, so Scott would always go like, yo, 420 blaze it. Because he'd have like a damage modifier to hit 420. Because like,
now my question is though, do you think Iron Hands EX will see play?
We'll get to that.
Oh, yes,
that's coming soon. We will be getting to that. What are some other surprises from Pittsburgh before we move on to the future stuff?
The other deck in the final.
Lost Box?
Why is there a Kyogre in there?
Bro!
That's not the Lost Box that I wanted to see, or expected to see, rather.
Bro, the Kyogre is nasty. You know what that does, right?
Bro, yeah, I know what it does, but here's the thing. All right. It's the same reason why I can't imagine... or, like, playing regionals just sucks anyhow, right? The amount of thought you have to put into making the Kyogre play at the right time, or setting it up perfectly so the Kyogre play works 100% of the time, is baffling. And then to do it that many rounds is absurd to me. That guy's mental fortitude is like next level.
Meanwhile, you look at Maridon just chilling.
Yeah, exactly. Like Jesse put in the work. Jesse's a great player, right? Jesse made the smart move, I think. Jesse picked a deck that, you know, he could play for a zillion rounds and be fine. What was his name? Nick, right? Nicholas?
Nick.
The other guy?
Andrew Estrada.
Andrew, not Nicholas. I'm sorry, Andrew. Andrew's like, nah, bro, I got this. I've actually been playing this sleepless for 72 hours straight, 6 times a week, so that I could... train myself to play through the tiredness, you know? And he's up there like zombie mode, just auto doing plays you've never seen before, because that's the only way I can imagine him still functioning. He's a cyborg.
And the other big surprise is a Charizard deck actually did all right.
Where did it go?
I have no idea, but I know it made it to day 2, right?
Well, there's a couple that made it a day 2, right?
Oh, so...
the highest placing Charizard deck. I'm about to look this up. If you want to look up running standings, you, link in the description. It'll be PokeStats.live. Shout out to Cash and Tate for running an incredible website that I swear by. Anyway, standings. Highest placing Charizard EX. I'm still scrolling. 59th.
No, that's not
bad. That's not bad. That's not bad. Christopher Wigglesworth, love the name.
Wigglesworth from Orlando, bro.
took
sorry,
Charizard.
Orlando crew. You guys are never gonna live that down.
He was the high, unless there's like a couple of decks that are like they have question marks by him. But he got like Gibson Tang and Hunter Smith. I don't know what they played, but he got 59th with Charizard, the highest placing Charizard player. Who was the guy who was on stream? What was his name?
Xerxes, something like that.
I can't find him. I know he made day 2. He was doing.
I think
really
it was spelled like Zeyrx.
Why am I missing it? I know he made day 2. I know he did. Where is he at? Oh, he got 90th. Damn. And that dude had cool stuff in his deck, bro. He had, like, what was it, Jet Energies and, like, Radiant Serenas and stuff like that. He had some cool shit. I want to see his list for sure. Just so I can look at it and be like, that's pretty cool. And then close the window. Like, because I'll never play that shit. What was I looking at? Yeah, that was the highest placing thing. And looking at these standings, though, it was cool to see we had one Chin Pao Baxcalibur deck. Rahul, shout out to Rahul for getting top 8. again for the millionth time.
One day, man, Raul's ready. Like, one day he's gonna finish one out. Like, he's been in the top eight far too many times not to have had it happen. I feel so bad for the guy, man. He's one of the best players that I've ever met, and he just hasn't had his opportunity to win one.
I think he's gotten top four at OCIC once, and that was like his biggest finish. He just can't close it out, but he will one day. I know he will, or he'll die trying.
The old homie Hunter Butler got top 16.
He did. I thought he won his like winning in on stream. He was on stream. I think it was the last round, and they thought he was going to go into top eight, and I guess he bubbled.
That's rough.
He did not bubble. He did bubble.
Yeah, because Raul has the same record, so.
Well, I just saw that in between there was a 10-05. It was Isaiah Bradner, who didn't lose a game and got ninth.
That must hurt worse than the rest of them. Like, I know a tie is bad, but like, to know you went undefeated and still didn't make top eight.
Shit. Yeah, dog. But other than that, not really too many surprises other than Maridon showing out. And no Guardies in top eight, which is sad. Not even Tord Reklev. He was there, and he couldn't even get top eight, bro.
When you're looking at Pokestats, the unknown is like they don't know what he played, and then Hunter Smith, like the whatchamacallit, the Pokedoll is like he just played some crazy stuff they don't have a symbol for yet.
Correct.
Okay.
What was I about to say? Oh, should we start the rumor that Tord's fallen off because he didn't top eight?
Absolutely not. That'll start an international war between our two countries, and I can't have that on my conscience.
What did Vance Kelly go?
He got 20, top 32 as well. He went 10-2-3 with Mew. That man's going to fucking crush the season until rotation. And then, hey, man, you got to do what you got to do. Like, you got to adapt to the rotation. Because, like, Mew's completely gone after it. Like, it rotates in April, right?
With Battle VIP Pass.
Mm-hmm.
You know who doesn't need a Battle VIP Pass? Maridon.
Nope, because it is a Battle VIP Pass. It is one. But it's... Oh, path rotates. Oh, shit. We'll talk about rotation at a later date. I don't want to get too far ahead of it. But speaking of spicy new things coming out. There was a card that was revealed last week I really, really, really wanted to talk about. But I know Matt really, really, really wants to talk about. So Matt, tell us about Golden Go EX. Tell us about it. What does it do? When does it come out? And all that good jazz.
I mean, I don't know the release date of...
it's in November, but...
Paradox Rift, right? Yeah. I just know it's, like, sometime November, but... Oh, boy! One metal energy, and then discard as many energies as you want from your hand, and it does 50 for each one, yeah?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited, because he's the Applejacks man!
What's the ability do? Let the people in on that one?
Oh, yeah, in the active, draw two, and if it's on the bench, you draw one.
So it just naturally draws cards and swings for big damage? Does it have high HP?
I think it's 260, isn't it? 260, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a measly it's 260.
Kinda, eh. Oh, that's terrible. 260 HP, that's awful.
You know what's hilarious, though? It's weak to fire, and you know what's not fire? Charizard. Yes.
I mean, Charizard is getting a fire Charizard EX.
Yeah, but
He's doing 330. Like,
yeah, so it doesn't matter anyhow.
But Golden Go knocks out anything if you have the energies in hand. Bro, this card is so sick. I don't care what anybody says. Like, even the alt art, Scott, you have to look at the alt art.
No, I saw it. It's both that and the... The Gimmagool are amazing. I love them. I love them with all my heart.
And the ability to...
The only thing that I feel like is going to be upsetting about it is that, like, is with a lot of the new EXs coming out having really high HP, like 320, 330, like, even using Gimmagool with... Or Golden Go with Vengeful Punch, you can't follow up with a Zamazenta for knockout. You just... You'll be a little bit short.
Yeah. Yeah, the... I mean, things are scaling with... the HPs are scaling pretty high, especially with a new tool card we'll talk about for the new Ancient Future things. They get plus 60 HP, like the Ancient Pokemon do. So you still have to have, like, six-ish energy. But, like, just the ability to just sit there on your bench and be like, draw a card. Oh, draw another one. Oh, another one. Oh, you got in the active? Draw two. You just saw five cards this turn. Oh, research. Go again. Like, it's just insane. Like, I don't think it's quite, and this is for the old heads, I don't think it's quite Zoroark insane. Because you're not, like, thinning your deck, like, discarding and drawing two. You're not trading. But you're still just... drawing cards over and over and over.
It's still a free plus one. The problem with that card is in order to hit those numbers, like, you gotta play a lot of energy.
No, you don't. You do not have to. You have to play 10 energies in that deck. Because you need 6 to knock out something. Then you recycle it with superior energy retrieval. Then you recycle again with superior energy retrieval. You're going to play 4 of those anyway. You don't need to play, like, 20 energies to make that thing work. You just need 10. I don't
know, bro. It seems you're going to play 4 Adamans.
Yeah, you can play different supporters. You don't have to play research over and over again or Iono. I mean, you can play Iono.
I mean, you can't play Iono because you don't want to have a turn where you only have 2 cards.
Revaroom. Draw back up to 6 and then Golden Go right back up.
I'm just saying, bro. Golden Go is the way of the future, bro.
I mean, there's been other cards that attack for the amount of energy in your hand, and they all get clunky, and they all do as well as we think they're going to.
Hey, bro, you remember Baby Blounce? It did the same thing.
Yeah, but that had Pidgeys.
And Giratina.
I guess this is a built-in Pidgey, kind of, but you just don't airmail for 3, bro, is all I'm saying. If you're drawing 1, draw 1.
Your bonus coins cap at 2 if it's in the active, not 3. Jeffrey, looking at you, buddy. This card's insane, man. I think it's really good. It's going to have a place in the meta, and it's already better than every single card in Obsidian Flames. Yes, it's better than Pidgeot.
No, bro. Computer search for free every turn is pretty fucking good.
It's aight. Where's it at in top 8, bro?
Bro, it doesn't matter. It'll find its place.
You know what I'm super excited for, though?
What's up?
Techno Radar being a quick ball for 2 future Pokemon instead.
Oh, we're on those now. Yeah. They did announce the Oh, before we get to those, we're about to get to those in just a second. And oh yeah, I made a tweet back when Scarlet and Violet released, and it was top 5 new Pokemon I thought was going to be good in the TCG. I hit 4 out of 5 of them. Golden Go.
4 out of 5 with them.
Iron Valiant, Maridon, and Chinpou. Shout out to me. Not a big deal.
No, bro. I'm saying that you didn't hit 4 out of 5 of them. I swear to you, TPCI listens to us. This has happened far too many times.
And Meowscarado is kind of fringe. I ain't going to lie. It might have a place. It might have
It did pretty good in online tournaments a couple times, right? Like, it's a playable deck. It's just not as strong as, like, it should be.
Yeah, no, I had it ranked 4, though. I should have had it ranked 5. I had Chinpou at 5.
Yeah, you were wrong on that one.
But! We've alluded to this a few times. some that have been mentioned were Iron Hands EX. Matt, why did you say that you're excited for this one and it should go into Mariodon specifically?
Well, I mean, swinging for 120 isn't big, but if you can accelerate the energy to it, then if it takes a knockout with that attack, you draw an extra prize card.
That's pretty good. There have been like Pokemon in the past or cards in the past that it have done it, like in so during before rotation with like old Lugia had the Stoutland that did 40 damage, but you could power it up to, honestly, you could put four powerful energies in. It's hitting 120 essentially, like if you accelerate it to it and you take an extra prize card, like that's always been good against like Lost Box decks and like, you know, single prize decks, just to trade the prize trade in your favor. The only thing, my only question about this is that it's lightning and three colorless energies. Like, just to accelerate to this, you have to hit two electric generators. I guess not. That's kind of dumb, because you have Flaffy, and you have an attachment. You have two Flaffies, and an attachment. And then you hit one electric generator, and it's ready to go. Okay, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I think the only downside is the 210 for two prizes, right? And we're kind of going to a format where that's easily one-shottable. So this would have to be something that you kind of make a plan to get the one-turn attachment. You can't, like, slow set this up.
Yeah, for sure.
Or if, at the very least, you gotta do it smart, you know? But no, it's the ability to just take extra prizes has always been strong. So this card will definitely see some play, and Mariodon's probably the place it's going to see it most.
Or in Lost Box as well. Because you can Mirage Gate to it.
Or Lost Box, yeah.
It's 230 HP, right? So you could still Bravery Charm to it for 280.
It's 210. It's 210 HP.
Oh, I'm looking on PokeBeach and see 230.
What?
The card shows 230.
Oh, the card. Yeah, the card
shows. Oh, it is 230. Okay, yeah, then it's fine.
Yo,
I was reading the text.
PokeBeach fucked us
so
up.
So you could Bravery Charm to it, right? Or you could attach the Future Booster Energy Capsule. And then it does 20 more damage. So now you're hitting 140.
And not only does it do 20 more damage, it has no retreat cost. This fucking capsule, bro, is Muscle Band and Float Stone in one.
That's the new pivot right there.
That's insane. Holy shit. What are they doing?
I don't know, but I don't like it. You know what I do like, though, is Acerola's back, baby. Sort of.
Yo, Acerola's back. Oh, wait. Yeah, because you could do Golden Go like 8 times a turn now. What up?
Wait, how are you going to do that 8 times a turn?
You put one Pokemon into your hand. It does give you the bottom evolution, right? Or do you have to discard that?
I think it gives it that, because that's still the Pokemon, I think. So it gives you the bottom.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, Professor Turo's scenario. Put one of your Pokemon into your hand. Discard all cards attached to that Pokemon. Bro, that's so good. Okay, you can't do it 8 times a turn, because you have to re-evolve it. But you can eliminate any damage.
It's a supporter.
Any damage counters on it. You can heal it.
Exactly. You can now play things like Squawk without worrying about wasted bench space or, you know, losing two prizes for free, so.
You could pick up Luminions, reuse them. You can pick up...
Search out more of them to play Luminion and scoop it right back up.
You could pick up Archeops if they get damaged. Don't pick up
your that you can never get them down again. Yeah, okay, yeah.
That was a joke. Don't do that. Don't do that.
I mean, as for the Squawk, though, it's not a huge deal because there's Penny, right?
Yeah,
Penny
does.
Penny basic or evolution?
Penny was a basic Pokemon. Yeah, but... No, yeah, Penny would do the same thing, essentially. This is more for like the evolution Pokemon. You could, you know, do those plays like that.
So does it put the evolution and the base stage back in your hand?
I think so, because I think they're all considered the Pokemon still. So it'll discard all energies and item or tools, sorry. But I think all of the, and I could be wrong. I'm a terrible judge, but I think it picks up all of the previous evolutions.
So yeah,
because it works like Lost Zone, right? Because Lost Zone puts all in there, doesn't it? Like
Lost City.
Lost City. Yeah. Like, whenever you hit it.
I think Lost City does the same thing. I think it's all like the same situation. So if we're wrong, you know, let us know. But I think that's how it works.
That's pretty good. Wait, what does Scoop Up Net say? That'll tell me the correct answer. Because if Scoop Up Net says the same thing, essentially, but...
Scoop Up Net, you picked up all of the Pokemon, so...
Put one of your Pokemon that isn't a Pokemon V or GX into your hand. Yeah, so, yeah, it picks up the whole line. Like, if you're Turo scenarioing a Gardevoir, you just pick up the whole thing. And then just, like, rebench the Ralts, evolve the Curlia into something else, and then candy another Ralts or something. It's kind of more like healing your Pokemon or eliminating your bench space. Your free two prizers. Whether that's basics or evolution. It's a supporter with this effect has been good in the past, and it's going to be good in the future. Like, literally, it says supporter future on it. I mean, you can't go wrong. But there's some new items that have come out. Matt, you talked about this one earlier. Techno Radar. Discard a card from your hand to use this card. And search for up to 2 future Pokemon cards, reveal them, and put them into your hand. So it's essentially Quick Ball for 2 Pokemon. That's pretty good. If you're playing future Pokemon, of course. Like, if you're not, then it's... You would never play this card. But...
I miss Quick Ball so much.
We said the same...
I hate Nest Ball. I hate it.
We said the same thing about Ultra Ball until it finally came back. Life was rough when you had to cherish Ball for only GXs.
Like, oh my gosh. Don't remind me of those dark times.
It was that and Pokecom.
Like, I was so used to Quick Ball, and like after rotation happened and, you know, coming in like right at the Silver Tempest era, it's like, I'm used to Quick Ball. It's always Quick Ball. Card goes to my hand. So then I'd Nest Ball for something like Lumineon, and then I'd be like, okay, and then I'd be like, oh wait. I'm like, well, I just messed up. And it took some time to break that habit. But you know what really help is if you just read the cards, they literally just tell you what to do.
Yeah, that's the hard part. You guys see Blacksmith 2.0? Mila. She's my new favorite card. She's Blacksmith on steroids, bro.
Attach a fire energy from your discard pile to one of your Pokemon. If you do, then draw until you have 6 cards in your hand. Bro, teammates was better. I want teammates back.
Bro, do you remember Blacksmith?
No, because
we still have that. We still have the fire stadium too.
Sir,
you
I don't.
You could just free power up fire Pokemon all day long.
Bro, I didn't play in the Blacksmith era, bro.
Oh my god, I forgot you're not as old as I am. I'm gonna go to bed because I have Alzheimer's.
Bro, chill. You don't have Alzheimer's.
You're right, I have Alzheimer's.
But the other item I did want to talk about too is Earth Vessel. Did I say that right? Is that correct?
Yes.
Discard a card from your hand, same thing as the other one, but this one, you search your deck for 2 basic energies and put them into your hand. It's Professor's Letter with a little drawback. It's a Capacious Bucket, but for anything. And this isn't tied to just the Ancients. It's tied to, like, you can play this in any deck. Like, you discard a Psychic Energy with Gardevoir and search for 2 more Psychic Energies. and the concealed cards went away, and then you just fill your discard pile with energies.
Like or Goldingo.
Or Goldingo. There you go, bro. You don't have to find, you don't have to play 20 energies.
Scott. And then you can just rev room for six, or, well, not six, but rev room your hand up to six, and then start going again.
Yeah, bro. Get on the hype, dog.
I do have one more mention that I really hope works out. And I hope that it's a consistent enough boost. Sandy Shock CX. Because its ability lets you attach fighting energy from the discard pile. And let me tell you, Glamora kind of struggles for energy attachment at times. So I really like playing Glamora EX. It is just, it's fun. I love it.
That deck was dumb, bro.
Oh, yeah, Scott loved it. He had no idea what I was playing. Sat down with Lugia. What was it? You put Lugia down, like Tyranitar, another Lugia. And then there I go, extinctioning into Glamora EX. He's like, what does that do? And he goes to read, and he goes, oh.
Well, yeah, it was a bad time. I had the perfect Lugia setup going on. I was going to get two Archeops on the board. I was going to evolve both my Lugias. You know, I had, like, I knew that all my single strikes were in the deck. You know, like, I was about to go ham. And then this guy's like, you could only have three bench. And I'm like, fuck. How am I going to get around this? I did it, though. I still won, you know. But it took some actual thought.
That was the most fun game that I had played all night that night. I also did beat a Charizard deck with it, so... Glamora better than Charizard?
At this rate, bro, maybe. I am so low in Charizard right now. Like, I don't even want to think about that card anymore than I have to. Like, I like Giratina more than I like Charizard. And I hate Giratina. It's just...
No, you don't. You hate Giratina hands. You love Giratina.
I do hate Giratina hands.
The amount of times I've heard him say, I hate Giratina Lost Box. I'm never playing this deck again. It's a dumpster fire. This deck is awful. I can't stand it. And then I get a message like yesterday, and it's like, I hate myself. I love this deck so much.
Yeah, that's just your stereotypical Max Low. So get used to that. The longer you know him, the more he does that.
That's me coping when I tell you I hate something as much as I do. Because I don't, like, actually hate it. I just hate to love it. So just bear with it. Speaking of hating to love things, Professor Sada is like bae, and she's got another card. And I hope this one gets an alt art with a Koridon in it. Or at least one of them does. Hers is choose up to two of your ancient Pokemon. Once again, it has that limit to just ancient things. So if you're playing an ancient deck, you have to play this card. And attach one basic energy from your discard pile to each of them. Then draw three cards. This is essentially Melanie on... I almost think that the ancient tag on it makes it more way more balanced than Melanie or Welder ever was or ever will be.
Oh, yeah.
And this card will only be as good as ancient types will be. Although, this plus Dark Patch for Roaring Moon, that might be a thing. Like, by itself. Like, you wouldn't have to play it with Darkrai or Moltres or whatever. You just play a Roaring Moon deck. What that looks like, we'll need to see more cards. But I don't know. So we'll just have to wait and see. But really good supporter. I like the direction that they're taking these ancient and future cards. One, they look fucking cool, man. Like, all of them look so cool. Even the items in the supporters, like with that template that they have, they just look so sick, and I can't wait for it to come out. So, quick shout out to Iron Jugulus. It's okay. I don't really like it because it does for 5 energy, you do 150, but if it has a future boost capsule on it, it does 3 colorless energies for 150. I guess you're doing 170 if you have the future boost on it for 3 energy. That's not terrible. I mean, it has free retreat if you have the boost or the capsule on it. And then Tulip. Another supporter that's really good for Gardevoir, because Gardevoir is getting every single support ever. Put up to 4 in any combination of psychic Pokemon and basic psychic energy cards from your discard pile to your hand. They knock out your alts, you just set them right back out.
Like, yeah, that's pretty good.
That's decent.
It's decent. I wish I would have had that during the Malamar days, but you know.
Come on, bro. That would have been ridiculous.
I mean, we already had the Giratinas that came back and the energy that came back for free. But, you know, I'd like more than 8 NK or more than 4 NKs.
Yo, do you play Tulip and Mew? Or no?
No.
No, because you only... Yeah. Whatever. Don't. You know what?
By the time you need them back, you're already lost the game. So.
Or won.
Yeah, either one, you know?
We also have Slitherwing. For 1 fighting energy, do discard the top card of your... It does trample. Discard 1 card from the top of your opponent's deck. No damage. And then Billowing Burn for 2 fighting energies. It does 120 and does 90 damage to itself, and then your active Pokemon is burned. I looked at this card earlier and was like, that is shit. That's absolute garbage. But like... Is it, though?
It is. Well, you were correct in the assumption. No, there is no, I mean...
But it has, like, it's a single prizer with the Ancient Booster Energy Capsule. It has 200 HP as a single prizer. Doing 120.
And you're doing half of that to yourself when you do 120.
Listen, bro, I'm just saying. Is it garbage?
Unless there's cards that we're missing that say if your Pokemon have X amount of damage on them, do this much more or something, you know, then this card is absolutely horrendous.
Fair. So what do you guys think? What do you guys think the best, like, archetype for Ancients is going to be when that comes out in future? Matt, what do you think?
I don't know. Because there's still so much that hasn't been shown. Because you also have to think, like, looking at the Iron Jugulus, right? Like, right now it's just a single prizer, but they're going to end up coming out with all the EXs for that and everything else. The Slitherwing, I don't know. It's hard to say. I feel like it's going to end up being some sort of fighting deck is going to benefit from it, I hope. I don't know what the best will be.
What do you think, Scott?
So I think the best future deck is just going to be Gardevoir with Iron Valiant. Honestly, at least at first, right? Because it gets the most support, but also you can just power it up essentially for free because you're going to do 20 damage to it and then move it right off, right? So that's what I'm going with. Gardevoir with Iron Valiant is going to be the best future type deck. It's probably going to be even less Gardevoir than it is Iron Valiant, you know. But I think that's where that's going to go. And then you could even throw the Screamtail in there and have both future and ancient. Fuck it, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, those are the best cards, I think, as far as the combination of everything we have and everything we've been told. I'd like to say that some other deck probably is going to be good. There's got to be some fire ones we're missing, otherwise why would they release a fire supporter, a specifically fire supporter? But I don't know. Guardy's going to win. Guardy's going to be BDIF. If you haven't picked up your Guardies yet, do it now.
Guardy wins. There is a shit.
Yeah, Screamtail is going to be a single prize. They're swinging for 280.
To your bench, if it wants to.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what's absolutely insane.
It's just going to shit on your...
That.
It's going to shit on your... your Pidgeots on the bench.
Like, just... Is it Alakazam that can attach from the bench? Isn't he a psychic too?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, psychic wins. Just...
Yeah, they're...
get a hold of your dark Pokemon. You're going to need them.
For sure, for sure. One Pokemon I forgot to put in our show notes, and I don't know why I did that. That's on me. Is they released a Jirachi with a very, I don't want to say specific ability, but it reads very, very specifically. So we have this Jirachi at 70 HP, and it has this ability called Stellar Veil. And its ability is attacks from your opponent's basic Pokemon can't put damage counters on your benched Pokemon. And then it has for one colorless charge energy, search your deck for up to two basic energy cards and reveal them and put them into your hand. A little charge up for Golden Go if you want to go that route. But the ability is what we're looking at here. Basic Pokemon can't put damage counters on benched Pokemon.
So they tried to print a hard counter to save a life.
Yes.
With 70 HP, so it could just be boss and knocked out.
Yes.
Okay.
Buys that, you a that's... turn, though, right?
It prevents them from Sableye-ing that turn.
Sometimes yeah. That's all you need.
I hate this. I hate this because I hate the discourse on Twitter when things like this get announced. They did it with Manaphy. When Manaphy came out, and there was like this diagram where it was like, Manaphy counts are up, stop playing deck. Manaphy counters are up, stop playing deck. And then like back and forth. This is going to be the same thing. Like,
yeah.
If you want to fit in a Jirachi in your list, you might have to. You might not have a choice if Lost Box runs up. And if it really does counter the Sableye play, Lost Box has so many tools other than Sableye to do whatever it wants. Like, that's what it does. I mean, Sableye is, like, your big attacker. But, like, Lost Giratina can win a game without using Sableye. Like, decks can move around this. This is good for the game, though, having something like this as a tech card.
Yeah, because... you still have to have it in the back of your mind if you're building a deck that has an attack like that, or you're working towards a strategy of finishing a game like that. You got to have an out to this, right? So I don't think it's a bad inclusion of the game. I do think it's a bad card, though. So I would include it in Golden Go, though, because that's the ability is sick, right?
You mean the attack?
The attack, yeah. Yeah, like, I probably would put it in, yeah.
Yeah, it would maybe. Be kind of cool. Like turn one while you're setting up, you're just like, charge energy. Let me grab two energies.
Yeah.
That's not bad. It's not great, but it's not bad. I mean, what else are you going to do turn two if you go second? Pass? and then medical energy. Attach it to one of your Pokemon in your hand, heal 30 damage. The new stuff that they announced. Oh, and then Rika, look at the top four cards of your deck and put two of them into your hand. Shuffle the cards and put them on the bottom of your deck. You're not going to play that. You might play that in Golden Go. I'm just saying, bro. Golden Go's got options. It's got options.
The Golden Goat.
Yeah. And then the alt art is so dope for that card. Scott, just play it, bro. Just play it. Just play Golden Go. Play Golden Go. Go to San Antonio Regionals. Sleeve the same 60 as me and Matt because we're going to San Antonio Regionals. And we're going to all play Golden Go.
Oh, my gosh. Go ahead and leak the play right now, right here.
Yeah.
Scott, just wait until Max Lowe builds it, says that he absolutely hates it, and then play it.
Well, see, here's the thing. That is my style deck. So I could talk shit all I want, but I probably will end up playing it because I like I like decks that just do 400 damage out of nowhere.
I was just thinking about our conversation earlier, speaking of decks I hate that I end up playing. And we were talking this morning about maybe, possibly, no way possible it's going to happen, going to Peoria. Thought about going to Peoria, sleeving up Tina again. A story of my life. But yeah, as far as Pokemon goes, that's all we got, unless there's an update on who won. Anybody know?
Right now it's 1-1. There's 29 minutes left, and Andrew Estrada has 5 prize cards. Jesse has 6.
Okay, so they just
and 7 cards in the lost zone. So, because that's a big factor.
All right. Well, congratulations to Andrew Estrada and Jesse Parker. Either way, Lost Box and Maridon. One was expected to do well this tournament. It was Lost Box and another
Maridon.
Oh, Maridon. I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but I am. Maridon is that's a pretty good deck, and it's fun to play. So, also, Lions football is so back right now. We beat the Chiefs the other day. Shout out to us. Really worked hard for that win. And Scott, I know you're happy about that. And and I always got to give him shit when I get on the podcast. Alabama lost to Texas yesterday, so roll tide.
Roll tide.
Hell yeah.
Oh my god. So, with that being said, these next few weeks are going to be very hairy. Like, I do have a baby on the way, so I don't know if I will or will not be on the podcast. Matt, you might have to fill in some pretty small shoes. You got the shit, dog. If I'm not here. But we will do the best we can with the resources provided to us. So with that being said, it's going to be a pretty busy few weeks.
You're going to come back and it's going to be a Disney Warcana podcast.
Bro, I'm for it, dog.
I don't like that game that much, dog.
Bro, have you been playing?
I have. Like, it almost became a Pokemon Unite podcast for a couple of weeks, but then, and we really love that game, so I only mediocrely like Lorcana, so no chance.
But that's really all I got for you guys today. Nothing else, really. Scott, you got anything?
Shout out to the sponsors. Shout out to the sponsors of this episode. Absolutely nothing. So hit us up if you want to give us money for talking about you. No, I don't have any tales from the card shop today. I haven't got one in a couple weeks, so hopefully I get back on that next week. But
I forgot about that. Oh yeah, on my business trip, I played a shit ton of Lorcana. Shout out to that. That was a lot of fun. Would not do a podcast about it because it would just be me ranting about how expensive it is. So we're good. Matt, you got anything up for us before we hit the plugs?
Absolutely not. I know nothing. I have nothing. I contribute nothing.
You contributed a lot. Don't sell. Don't sell yourself short. You've been a lot valuable asset to this company.
But mostly an ass.
All right, Scott.
Oh, I do gotta say though, playing against Scott is a lot of fun. We always seem to get paired, and I think I've only played you one time. And as far as I remember, you're 0-1 against me.
I played
it
you.
It took me all of playing for what was it? 2 weeks to beat you?
I started Raikou, sir, and you donked me. And then the second time we played in a tournament setting, it was a pre-release. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure one of my pre-releases I played, I don't think it was that one. I played one Galarian Zigzagoon in 59 energies. Or 39 energies. So, catch me at a real tournament, buddy. I'll see you on Friday. Don't worry about
I've been trying.
Bro, it's just how they pair it. It used to be me and Scott every round, and now it's you two every round. Or every tournament. It's fucked up. Honestly. It's whatever.
Then Scott sits down and sees some bullshit happen, like Starmie or Gamora.
Starmie caught me off guard that day. That was good. But all right, I got to get out of here. I don't know about you guys, so.
Yeah, we're good. Anyway, you can find Scott at FlowTK1 on X, Twitter X. To see,
the artist formerly known as Twitter.
Yeah, you can find him there. You can find me at MaxLowFTK, and you can find Matt
through you two,
through us. If you have any questions for him, you can reach out to us, and I'll be sure to relay the message.
You missed the golden opportunity to be like, you could find Matt in a dark alley rolling dice with the boys, or something along those lines,
in the lost zone.
Matt comes on the pod and he's like, hey, do you have two Sable Eyes? Because I've lost mine. Anyway, that has been episode 109. We will catch you. Yeah, maybe. We'll catch you guys next week.
Peace. He doesn't know. Say peace.
Oh, peace.
Peace.